Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. We'll read verses 18 through 25 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, thank you so much for this time of the year where even many in the world slow down and think about Jesus. Father, thank you for our preacher filling with your power today. Give us exactly today what you have for us so that we could go out and help more people with the gospel, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We have been studying in our Sunday school hour the doctrines of the Bible. I think they've been very, very good for us, and I'm glad that we have been. This morning, I'm going to share with you a doctrine that is a doctrine that's not preached on much. It's mentioned. To be honest, it is a challenge when you get such a vast, there's just so many different people that come to our church. There are people in here that have high education, people that have doctorates, and then people that really don't have much education, dropped out of high school, and then young people, they sit in this auditorium and they come from every walk of life. And Sunday morning comes around and we take one book and we teach a truth, and the job is to get the truth to everybody. And I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to kind of preach, but yet I'm going to teach more than I'm going to preach, and I hope we can keep the attention of the people. Now, I think, as I've watched the morning unfold, the number of interruptions this morning will be lessened because of the weather. I think God knew exactly what he was doing there. The serious disciples, though there are some that are not here that I think love the Lord and are serious, but I can guarantee you, if you're here today, you wanted to come to church. Those that were looking for an excuse, they found one, though I think there are some that need not come. I think that it was unsafe for some. But let me tell you, I'm just glad that what I'm going to preach or what I'm going to teach this morning the whole morning has turned out just right. It's just been a perfect morning in God's plan. And if you'll listen to me today, I'll remind you of something. I think I'll say something that everybody here believes. But I think we need to be reminded of it. And then I want to tell you, there's not as many people that believe this as what used to. I want to talk to you about the importance of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The importance of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. In our text there in Matthew chapter 1, we read starting with verse number 18, went all the way through verse number 25, and we see the birth of Jesus is described. Folks, many people doubt the virgin birth. It's not just a fairy tale. It is not. It happened exactly the way the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible. I will render zero apologies for my stand on the Word of God. This is the Word of God. I don't doubt it. I'm not going to start doubting it. I'm not going to rewrite it. I'm not looking for a new book. I believe the Bible. I believe it. And I'm not going to let modernists, and I'm not going to let the trends of our day keep me from believing God's old black book. I believe it. And the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That's not a nasty word, so you know. That's a very clean word. That's a very pure word. That's not a cuss word. It's okay to use that word. Jesus was born of a virgin. Five verses here in Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bible open to it still, you may glance at them. We'll not turn to every scripture. We are going to look at this, though. In Matthew, we see five verses repeatedly in one chapter that help to emphasize this issue of the importance of the virgin birth. Look at Matthew 1:18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Notice it says there, before they came together. What's it talking about? Before they came together intimately, she was found with child. What's it telling you? It's reiterating or emphasizing to us that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now drop down to verse number 20. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." There, it wasn't a man that was involved in Mary becoming pregnant. The Bible teaches that God, through the Holy Spirit of God, planted the seed in Mary, and again, backing up the teaching of the virgin birth. Now look at verse number 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Notice it says, "and she shall bring forth." It was not that they shall bring forth. Now, when Mrs. Owens and I had a baby, someone may have said, Mrs. Owens has a new baby, but the truth is, Brother Owens and Mrs. Owens had a new baby. Mrs. Owens didn't do that on her own. And so, but here it says, "she shall bring forth a son." Now look at verse number 23. This is pretty blatant. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." And we'll stop right there. And yes, it was a behold, and it was a virgin, and she did bring forth the child. So now we've seen four times emphasis focusing in on this thing of the virgin birth. Now go to verse number 25. It says, "and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus." Joseph had not known Mary. That word "known" there is talking about they had not been intimate. There had not been a physical relationship. So Matthew 1:18 tells us of the virgin birth. Matthew 1:20 tells us of the virgin birth. Matthew 1:21 tells us of the virgin birth. Matthew 1:23 tells us of the virgin birth. Matthew 1:25 tells us of the virgin birth. And of course, the whole lesson, the whole preaching this morning is about that topic. I do not know of there's a doctrine or two historically that is doubted or that is attacked, and one is the plan of salvation, that it is by grace through faith and not of works, and the second is probably going to be the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So today we talk about a doctrine that it's not believed much anymore. There are preachers that are afraid to preach on it because they're afraid that their congregation is going to sit in the pew and say, "you're nuts, you're crazy." Well, then you can write me down as crazy. I just happen to believe the Bible, and the Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. There are four ways, according to the Bible, to make a human body. Cloning is not one of them. Just so everybody understands, I'm not a supporter of it, but let me tell you, the Bible teaches there are four ways to make a human body. First of all, there's a fellow by the name of Adam. Adam was created from the dust of the ground. And the wise are saying, that's about right. A man sure can be a dirt ball sometimes. But the original man, Adam, God created him without any help. And, you know, there are some people who say, "well, I believe God created everything." Then they can't believe that Mary could be a virgin and give birth to a child. Well, look, if God can create something out of nothing, don't you think God can create something out of something? But Adam was created from the dust of the ground. Now, there's a human body that was created one of the four ways. Secondly, Eve was created from the rib of Adam. And they've been a pain in the side ever since. But see, we had the first man created out of the dust of the earth. Then the first woman was created from the man, from the rib of Adam. Then we have Cain and Abel. We took the dirt and the rib and put them together and we get sweet little children. It's an amazing thing. But then you have Cain and Abel who were, they were children that were created by the birthing process that God had created. Adam and Eve came together and then we had babies. And God told us, be fruitful and replenish the earth. Now, some of you families, you don't have to do it all, okay? You can let some of the rest in on it, but we're to replenish the earth. Then, finally, there is the fourth and final way for a body to be born, or a person to be born, and that's Jesus. And he was exceptional. He was considered the second Adam. But Jesus comes along, and God uses the body of a woman to produce a man without the help of a man. Right. Now, the woman came forth from the man's body, but now we see here, we see that a man comes forth from the woman's body. Isn't that unique? Four ways that God said that a human body could come forth. Adam, created from the dust. Eve, taken from the rib of Adam. Cain and Abel, and everybody since, coming forth from the process of a man and woman coming together to replenish the earth. And then, the miracle birth of Jesus Christ, where God took a woman and brought forth a child born of the seed of God. And so you know, all four of those are miracles. All four of them are miracles. I mean, whether it be Adam created from dust, that's a miracle. Whether it be Eve coming forth from Adam's rib, that's a miracle. If it's the birth of Cain or Abel or Johnny or Susie or Margaret or Joey, that's a miracle. That's still a miracle. Oh, but then Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, that's a miracle. They're all miracles. I was looking in our songbook and the Christmas songs that we sing, I seen the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let me read a verse or two from the songbook to you, and I want you to notice, I want you to zero in on the teaching of the virgin birth here. In verse number 3 to this song, it says, Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man may no more die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Now, here, God is telling us of the Christ birth and how powerful that birth is. Let me read you a couple of words here. In verse number 4, it uses these words. It says, Adam's likeness, now in face, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam, from above, reinstate us in thy love. Now remember, Adam is one that came forth in a miraculous way. Jesus came forth in a miraculous way. And let me find it. It says, come desire of nations come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. I want to stop right there. In verse number 4, it says, rise the woman's conquering seed. Notice it does not say this is the seed of Joseph. It says the woman's conquering seed. Many people would read or sing that song but not realize when it's talking about the woman's conquering seed that it meant there the Christ child came forth from a woman, not a man. And is teaching the virgin birth. It says here, it says in verse number 2, it says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. As you look at the Christmas stories, you'll see the doctrine, and as you look at the Christmas songs, you'll see the doctrine of the virgin birth in them over and over again. But let me tell you what's happening. They are even rewriting the gospel hymns. They're rewriting Christmas songs to remove this sort of stuff. Because people don't want to believe the virgin birth anymore. Folks, the virgin birth is as much the truth of the Bible as there is the truth that there is a heaven, and there is a heaven, the Bible says so, and that there is a hell, the Bible says so, and that there is a God. Look, if the virgin birth is not true, then the whole book's not true. And so, it's true. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I want to teach you some things about that very thing this morning. First of all, let me say the obvious. I want to start out by saying Mary had never been with a man intimately. There had never been a physical relationship. I'll read to you from Luke chapter 1, verse number 34, where it says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel had come to Mary and said, "You're going to have a baby." And Mary said, "That's impossible. I've never had a physical relationship with a man." Now Mary, first of all, is testifying to her purity. She is testifying to her virginity. Mary is also testifying to the fact that this is a miracle. Mary's saying, "You can't have a baby if you've not had a physical relationship with a man." She knew that. You and I know that. She's reiterating the fact that this is a miracle. So Mary said to the angel, "I have not been with a man." See, she had saved herself for her husband. She would walk the aisle and go through her wedding vows, and she would give herself to her husband, pure, clean, and virgin. And her husband would have been the very first man to ever have a physical relationship with her. That's the one that God chose to bring forth the Christ child. Now, she was engaged. The word espoused is a lot like our word engaged. She was engaged to Joseph. And just so you know, this shows you that just because you're engaged, you're not supposed to be having a physical relationship. You see that? You see what it's teaching there? It's teaching that they were engaged, but that did not give them a license to have a physical relationship. Mary and Joseph were not saying, "Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to get married someday, so let's go ahead and have a physical relationship." Mary and Joseph were not saying, "Well, she's got an engagement ring on. That buys me the right to her body." That's that. No, Mary said, "Hey, we're not married. I've had no man. I'm a virgin, and I'm clean." So Mary, she's saying, "How can you have a baby if you've not had a physical relationship?" Well, God was doing something miraculous here. She was, and so you know, some people try to explain this away. And there's a spiritual meaning that this is not a physical virgin. She was a physical virgin. I mean, she was literally a virgin. I mean, look. If a young man and a young woman were standing right here at the altar to get married today, and somehow, while they were there, you could listen in, and the man said to his bride that we're about to tie a knot for, he said, "I'm so glad you saved yourself for me." And she turned to him and said, "Well, I have in a way. He said, are you virgin and clean?" And she said, "Well, in a spiritual sense, I am." Well, he's going to want to know if it's a physical sense. And then we're not playing spiritual games here. There are some people that want to spiritualize away the virgin birth. No, she was physically a virgin. It's not a spiritual, there's not spiritual spoofle dust being thrown around in this doctrine here. It really happened. Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." The virgin birth is doubted because it's a miracle. Galatians 4:4 says this, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman." Notice it was not made of a man and a woman, it was made of a woman. And again there in Galatians 4:4, it is repeating the miracle that took place. Now, when something's a miracle, it's a little hard for people to believe, but it's a miracle. And that's the way it happened. Mary said, take a miracle for me to be pregnant. I've never been with a man. And I'm sure the angel said, you guessed her, Chester. It's a miracle. You say that it would take a miracle for a woman to give birth to a baby without being with a man. Right. Right. You say, well, how am I going to believe this? Christian, have you ever heard a thing called, let's see, what's that word? Faith. Faith. Yeah, you exercise faith. You say, faith in who? God?
Amen.
Are you putting faith in your own logic? The human race are idiots. His ways are our way. His ways are higher than our ways. We all think we're so brilliant and so smart down here. The closer you stick to that black book, the smarter you are. The human race, well, the way I see it. God doesn't really care the way we see it. He cares what he wrote, and we're to put faith in what he wrote. Everybody's trying to use their own human logic and their own human reasoning and trying to explain away the things of the Bible. I'm not supposed to explain away the things of the Bible. I'm supposed to believe the things of the Bible. I'm to exercise faith in what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. A big fish swallowed him. You know what that means? Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. The Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. You know what that means? Jesus was born of a virgin. That's what the Bible says. So, Mary had never been with a man intimately. Number two, it's okay if that amazes you or shocks you. That's okay. That's okay. It's okay if the birth of Christ amazes you. If you're sitting here and you say, I don't know. I mean, I've heard people refer to it, but you're coming right straight out, flat out saying, that's exactly how it happened. And that shocks me a little bit. You know, I thought it was a little bit a part of the fairy tale and, you know, the red-nosed reindeer and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, you kind of talk about that sort of stuff, but now you're saying it's true. Yes, I am. You say, I'm amazed. Good. You're getting a taste of my God. You're getting a taste of his book. You're getting a taste of what he's capable of. You're getting a taste of what Christianity's all about. The angels of heaven, I think, were astonished. I think they were amazed at this birth. In Luke 2:10 it says, and these are the angels or about the angels, in Luke 2:10 it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, notice the angels use the word behold here. They know something really big's happening. That's why they're saying, behold. They're trying to explain this to everybody, and they use that word behold. In other words, big old drum roll, smash of the cymbals. This is not average. This is not normal. This is big stuff. And then they use the words, it brought great joy. Now, the Bible says that when a sinner repents, there is joy in the presence of the angels. How many of you have ever heard that verse? Raise your paw. Okay, you can put your arm down. It says there is joy in the presence of angels. Here the Bible says, in this announcement of a virgin-born child, it wasn't just joy. It was great joy. If the angels can, I can describe it this way. They have an adrenaline rush going. They're saying, wow, shall we? This is powerful. This isn't just joy stuff, guys. This is great joy stuff. I think the angels were a bit amazed. And so you all understand, Luke chapter 2, verse number 10. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For instance, the book of Luke, does anybody know what Luke's, you know what Luke did for a living? He was a doctor. Don't miss this. Here is Luke, the doctor, saying, Jesus, born of a virgin. You check and see if you got any doctors these days that put that in their medical journal. God used Luke to write it in his medical journal. Luke, isn't it neat that God did that? God had a doctor say, put a stamp of approval and said, yeah, virgin birth. Now, so it's okay to be amazed at the virgin birth. The Bible says that there was a multitude of angels participating. Luke says again in verse 13 of chapter 2, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and we'll go on to verse 14 here in a second. Now, there's a sudden burst of energy among these angels, and suddenly all the angels chime in. They're all praising God about what? Well, the announcement of the birth of the Christ child, the virgin birth. The Bible teaches that they were shouting. In Luke 2:14, it says, I'll read verse 13 to you. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. These angels, I figure that they were kind of pumped up. They're shouting. They're saying, glory to God. Did you hear? Do you know what's going to happen? This is incredible. This is amazing. We have experienced a lot of neat stuff up in heaven, but this is a big one. We got to tell you that there's a baby that's going to be born. That baby is born of a virgin. The angels were pumped. They were excited. This wasn't average excitement. You know, if the angels got excited, you and I should get excited. If the angels were a bit in awe of this, I guess we should be too. This was such a powerful miracle. Joseph, who was engaged to Mary, at first he was having a hard time with it. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 1. We read this earlier. In verse 19 and 20 it says, and this is when Joseph is finding out that Mary, the gal he's engaged to, is pregnant, and that with the Christ child. In verse 19 of Matthew 1 it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now what happened is Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. And I think when Mary shares it with him, you know, if you put yourself in that situation, Mary said, I'm pregnant. Joseph said, but we haven't been together. Now, what would the natural tendency be then? Joseph is afraid that maybe Mary has wandered. He said, I don't want to make her into a private example and embarrass her. And I could picture him having a little bit of doubt of what's going on. Joseph, I don't know exactly how the whole conversation went, but Mary says, I'm pregnant. Joseph said, but we haven't been together. And Joseph then says, well, it can't be my baby. Whose baby is it? Mary said, God? Joseph said, yeah, right, you've been into your mom's depression medicine, haven't you? You're not thinking right. But what happened is the Holy Ghost comes to Joseph and says, calm down. It's true. That baby, your wife has not been with a man, not with you, not with any man, and that baby is the child. That is God's son. So, you know, I have a little mercy when somebody hears about the virgin birth the first time, they shake themselves and say, well, they didn't teach me anything about that in health class. Well, in our health class we do. At the Christian Academy, you'll find out that a baby can be born of a virgin. One that was Jesus, documented by who? Dr. Luke. But at first, Joseph even had a hard time with it. You say a baby being born of a virgin? That's impossible. I know. That's what I love about it. Right. You say, hey, I don't understand it. I know. Isn't that great? Isn't it wonderful? There's something that man can't understand. That's how big our God is. So, Mary had physically never been with a man. Number two, it's okay to be amazed at the birth of Christ and the virgin birth. I mean, the angels, they were a bit amazed. Mary, she said, this doesn't make sense. Joseph said, I'm not really sure about this. But I promise you, everybody else involved, the angels, Mary and Joseph, they all listened to the Holy Spirit who said it's true, and they accepted the truth of the Word of God. Now, number three, we've said this in many ways, but I'll say it again. Number three, Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. There was a special song earlier. They used the term the father of Jesus on earth. In other words, he was, if I could use the term stepdad or whatever you want to call him, Joseph was married to Mary, but Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Now, he acted as husband to Mary in the home, and Jesus was brought up in that home, but Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Let me show you how that's taught in the Bible. Again, in Matthew 1, where we started, verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Notice the Holy Spirit says to Joseph that Mary shall bring forth a son. It says that Mary shall bring forth a son, not your son. You see here in Matthew 1:21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son." Who's the Holy Spirit speaking to? Joseph. Right. "And she shall bring forth a son." Now, if Jesus had been the son of Joseph, don't you think that the Holy Spirit would have said, and she shall bring forth your son. It said she shall bring forth a son. Again, teaching us that Jesus was not the son of Joseph. Luke, Dr. Luke says this to us in Luke chapter 2, verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Let me read it to you again. And listen, it says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." They're speaking about Jesus. But notice something here. It says, "Joseph and his mother." Now, you know how you and I would have said that. We would have said his father and his mother. They did not refer to Joseph as his father. They gave him the name Joseph and his mother.
Right.
Now, I don't know of anybody, every once in a while you'll find that weird situation, but my son Joshua sits on the platform with me today. He does not call me Jeff. He calls me Dad. My kids don't call me by my name. They call me Dad. Even the youngins that have married into our family, my daughter-in-laws, my son-in-law, they call me Dad. Now here, the reference is, they say Joseph and his mother. Let's face it, they're trying to say Joseph is not his dad. Joseph's a part of the family, but he's a part of the family by marriage to Mary. And again, it's pointing out, Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Now, Dr. Luke, again, helps us to understand that Joseph was not the father of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. In Luke 2:49, it says this, "And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my father's business." Here's the story. Jesus had gotten separated from Mary and Joseph, and when Joseph finds Jesus, Jesus and Joseph begin to talk. This is later in life. Jesus says, he's talking to Joseph. Jesus says, "I must be about my father's business." Now, who is he talking to? Joseph. But Jesus told Joseph, "I got to be about my father's business." What was Jesus saying? "Joseph, you're not my father. I'm being about my father's business." And he was referring to the heavenly father. Let me read to you Matthew 1:20. We read it earlier. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Here an angel makes it clear that Joseph is not the father. I mean, the angel tells Joseph point blank, "Joseph, we don't want you to be mixed up about this. You are not the father of this child. This child is the son of God." So Dr. Luke tells us that Joseph is not the father. We see here that Jesus tells us that Joseph is not the father. Here we see in Matthew, the angels tell us Joseph is not the father of Jesus. So over and over again, we see that Joseph was not his father. We started out by saying this. Number one, Mary had never been with a man intimately. She was a physical virgin. Number two, it's okay to be amazed at the virgin birth. The angels were amazed at it. Mary was amazed at it. Joseph was amazed at it. And at first glance, when you and I, with everything that we have learned, when we look at it and say, "Wow, that's an incredible feat." Yes, it is. It's okay to be amazed, but make sure you, by faith, believe what the Bible says. Thirdly, make very clear, Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Fourthly, the virgin birth was prophesied in the Old Testament. The virgin birth was prophesied. The word, don't let the word prophesied or prophecy scare you. That is a, that a prophecy is a, one in the Bible is one predicted by God. Now there are people that prophesy or predict things and you can't put much confidence in them. But if God prophesies something, it comes true 100% of the time. You say, well, I read something that's not come true. You better throw in there the word yet. I heard about this rapture thing. It's on its way. I heard about the Battle of Armageddon. It's a-coming. Well, I heard about we're going to take this earth over and reign it for a week. It's coming. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. It's all on its way. There are parts of prophecy that have not been fulfilled yet. But in the Old Testament, the writings before Christ, that there was a prophecy put there that Jesus would be born, but not just born. That he would be born of a woman, not of a man, that he would be born of a virgin. Now, let me read to you some scripture that will help you to see that it was there. It starts out all the way in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 5 says this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Notice the words again, the seed of a woman. Let me read it to you. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Here, you know, when in our culture, when mom and dad have a baby, we talk about the seed of man that brings forth that child. Here it's talking about the seed of a woman. Now, what child is this woman going to bring forth? One that's going to knock the snot out of the devil. God is saying the devil rose up there in the Garden of Eden and caused all sorts of chaos, and God said one of these days a woman's going to bring forth seed, and that seed's going to knock the snot out of the devil, and we're going to send him back to hell where he belongs to be. But there's the prediction, that prophecy given 4,000 years or so before Jesus Christ, that it will not be the seed of a man that knocks the snot out of a woman, or out of the devil. Same difference there. Just mixing up my Hebrew words for a moment. But it's going to be that child that came forth from the woman that is going to put the devil back in his place. Now, maybe one of the most used verses of prophecy is Isaiah 7:14. We hear it quoted, Isaiah 7:14, predicting the birth of the Christ child, not just the birth, the virgin birth. It says in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, there's another prophecy given, 750 years before Christ came, and it uses the word virgin. And just don't let anybody ever twist that word on you. That word there means physically had never had a sexual relationship with a man. And the Bible is telling us there's a prediction in the Old Testament. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis when man fell and somebody had to redeem man, and God said, "I'll do it by way of a virgin-born child." You get to the book of Isaiah and you find out Isaiah is predicting there will be a virgin-born child that will help save man from his sins. Another one that I'll give you real quickly is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 22. And here it mentions, while I'm reading it, I want you to notice, it mentions it uses the words "a new thing." A new thing. Now listen to it as I read it to you. Jeremiah 31:22 says, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man." Here the Bible's talking about a woman bringing forth a man. It's going to help, and in reference here, there's somebody that's away from God, and God is going to bring forth, there's going to be a woman that brings forth a man that will help with the sin problem, and that's what that's talking about. It's not talking about a man that created a son, it's talking about God using a woman to create a son. And remember, you say, that's so odd. Well, God created Adam from the dust of the earth. God can create a child from a woman's body. And so, this is what we said. Point number one, Mary had never been intimate with a man. Number two, it's okay to be amazed at the virgin birth. Mary was, Joseph was, the angels were. Number three, Joseph was clearly not the father of Jesus Christ. Even Luke, the doctor of the day, made that clear and documented it in his writings. Number four, the virgin birth was prophesied. Not just the birth of Christ, but that it would be a virgin birth of Christ. Number five. You say, well, so why is believing the virgin birth so important? Why is that so important? I'm going to give you some very quick reasons why it is so important that we believe the virgin birth. And let me, if I could, I want to encourage all the preachers here, and we, I believe, are training a mighty band of young preacher boys that in years to come, you're going to see them do a great work all over this country, all over this world, especially all over the East Coast. And you young preacher boys, don't you ever back off on the doctrine of the virgin birth. It's in the Bible. We're going to preach it. We're going to believe it. And somebody's going to look at you and say, are you crazy? You say, then I'll be crazy for Jesus because it's in the Bible. And I believe the Bible is the Word of God. So, let me say right off the bat, why should we believe the virgin birth? One of the simplest things I should say to you is because the Bible teaches it. Because the Bible teaches it. If the Bible teaches it, then it's true. Let me remind you of something. God warns us not to fiddle with His Word. God warns us not to be taking things out of His Word or adding something that we feel like ought to be added. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." It's not talking about the loss of your salvation. There's a place in the book of life where your name's supposed to be written. Those people that fiddle with the word of God that are unsaved, they probably won't get saved. There's a part, there's a place for their name to be. And a lot of the people that fiddle with the word of God don't have a pure seed to get them regenerated, to get them born again, because they fiddle with the word of God. But let me say to you, there's a warning here. All these people are wanting to rewrite the Bible and mess with the Bible. God said here, you better not mess with my word. He said here, I will add to you the plagues that are found herein. When you start diluting the word of God, when you start messing with the word of God, and you start taking things out of the word of God. Let me tell you something. God can tolerate, you know, a man goes out and he gets drunk and he keeps serving God. God can tolerate some of that. And God can tolerate some misbehavior. And God, you know, there's so many sins that God has a very, very high tolerance level for. But I'll promise you something. You find somebody that starts messing with the purity of the word of God, God doesn't tolerate that much. God don't put up with that much. Here's one where God said there is a curse that will be placed upon you when you fiddle with the purity of the Word of God. So why is believing the virgin birth so important? It's because the Bible teaches it, and we should not leave out the teaching thereof. Secondly, the teaching of the virgin birth, the doctrine of the virgin birth, proves the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, don't let the word deity scare you. Sometimes we hear words and we think, well, what does that word deity mean? I've been hearing that for a long time. What it means is Jesus was God. Jesus was God. God is a three-part God. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all one God, but God has three parts. You've heard me explain it this way. It's like an egg. You have the shell, you have the yolk, and you have the white. It's all part of one egg. That is your God. Your God is a three-part God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came down and was born into this world, he was put in the body of a man. It was God being born into the body of a man, and they chose to call him the Son of God. Why? He was born into the body of Mary. It was God that fathered the Christ child. And so, the virgin birth proves the deity of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. When somebody says that Jesus was not born of a virgin, they're denying the fact that Jesus was the Son of God.
Right.
They're denying that fact. Jesus was the God of heaven coming to be with us in the body of a man.
Right.
Now, it's important that we understand the bigness of the deity of Christ. Jesus was God. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew that he was God come in the flesh. Again, Dr. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 48 and 49, says this, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Now remember, in this story, Joseph and Jesus had been separated. They find each other. Joseph says, "Where have you been, Jesus?" And Jesus said to Joseph, "I have been about my father's business." Well, Joseph wasn't his father. What father was he talking about? God. Jesus is making it very clear here, I am the Son of God. And again, the importance of the virgin birth, the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, this word incarnation, how many of you have ever heard the word incarnation? You hear that word, it's a little scary. Again, that is the fact that Jesus came to earth and was put in the body of a man, but it was God in the body of that man. That's a big word for saying God came to earth in the body of a man. That's basically what the incarnation is. The deity means Jesus was God. The incarnation was that process of God coming from heaven down to earth in the body of a man. And sometimes I don't know where we get some of the confusing words. I try not to make what I teach confusing. I want everybody to understand that Jesus was God. God came down, got put in a body. They called him the Son of God. That body was the body of a man. The incarnation is that big word, God coming to earth in the body of Jesus. Jesus was come in the flesh. Let me read to you from John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let me read another verse to you. Colossians 2, 9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." What that says is, Jesus was God come in a human body. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead. When people say, "I don't believe in the virgin birth," they're saying Jesus was not God. They're denying that Jesus was God come in the flesh. Now, so what is the big deal about believing the virgin birth? Number one, the Bible teaches it. Number two, it proves the deity of Jesus Christ. Number three, if Jesus were not virgin born, he could not have been the perfect sacrifice that would qualify as our Savior. If Jesus were not virgin born, then he would not qualify to be our perfect sacrifice. You have to understand, every man born after Adam had sin flowing through him. Somebody had to give birth to a child that was a perfect sacrifice. You and I, our kids, we come forth out of the mother's womb, the Bible says, speaking lies. Every human being has to be born again. Why? We're sinners. Something had to be given as a perfect sacrifice to buy us back, to pay for salvation for us. So God said, "We're not going to use a man to try to get this done. He's already goofed it up." God said, "I will provide that sacrifice." Mary's body, it was only used as a delivery truck. I hate to put it that way. But God said, "I'm delivering a perfect sacrifice to save mankind. I will borrow a woman's body. I will be born into a woman's body and come forth." Mary and Joseph, did you know when someone is born, their blood tells you so much of what they are. And it is the father's blood that determines the child's blood type. Do you know whose blood Jesus had?
Amen.
God's. Perfect. When we sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow." That was God's blood. It was God's blood born into a man. Mary didn't determine that. She was a sinful woman like everyone else. She even calls Jesus Lord. She was a pure woman in her virginity, but Mary had to get born again just like everybody else. She was not the mother of God. She was the delivery truck used by God to get a perfect sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ into this world, so you and I would have a Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, I'm going to read three or four verses to you. Stay with me here. I told you that if he were not virgin-born, then he couldn't have been the perfect sacrifice to save us. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Everything I said in the last 2 minutes, it basically came from this verse. Jesus was not born of a man because men are sinful. And he would have had sinful blood in him. It had to be perfect, precious, holy, godly blood that saved you and I. Had he not been born of a virgin, he would not qualify to be our Savior. So when somebody doubts the virgin birth, they're making it so we're going to have to give up having a perfect Savior. And he was a perfect Savior. Let me give you another reason why it's very important to us. That means, of course, then our salvation depends upon it. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, then we have no Savior. There had to be a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Who was the perfect sacrifice? Jesus. Was he born of Joseph? No. Was he born of a man? No. He was born of God. God sent himself to be sacrificed for you and I in the person of his Son. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. We have to be saved through Jesus Christ. You know, without the virgin birth, Christ's life would not have been sinless. Without the virgin birth, Christ's blood would have not been God's. Without the virgin birth, Christ would not have had the power to do his miracles. Without the virgin birth, Christ's death would not have been important to us. Without the virgin birth, the resurrection wouldn't have been, it would have been virtually impossible. But without the virgin birth, you and I would have no intercessor between you and I to the throne of God. Without the virgin birth, there'd be no need for a second coming. I happen to believe that the virgin birth is a foundational teaching. God said everything that happens from Jesus on out is all dependent on the truth of the Word of God. And God said, I'm coming down there to clean up the mess that the human race has made for themselves. I'll come down and I'll do it myself. He didn't send a sidekick. He didn't send a man to do it. You can't save yourself. Nobody's ever saved themselves. The only Savior is Jesus Christ, which was God come in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He gave his life. He was crucified. He got up out of that grave. He took that very blood back to heaven and said, God, I took it down and I brought it back. And God said, I've seen the blood. It's made the full circle. It's back in heaven. Now the human race can be saved. That's the importance of the virgin birth. You can be saved because of the virgin birth. The virgin birth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The virgin birth is a big deal. It's a big deal. We sing of it. We refer to it. Stand fast, folks. Stand fast. Somebody says, oh, that's a bunch of silliness. How can you believe that? You say, it's a miracle. I believe. And they say, and if anybody ever says to you, it's a miracle for a woman to have a baby without a man, ask them if they think it's a miracle for a woman to have a baby with a man. Sure, well, sure it is. It's a miracle. Our God is a God of miracles. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.